You're having a threesome with Jennifer Golden, Lauren Leonelli, and Rob Evers. And now, It's Complicated.
Hello, Master Daters. Welcome back for another episode of It's Complicated.
Your fave podcast for all things dating and relationships.
A one-stop pod shop for the latest trends, reality TV, and celebrity couple gossip.
Plus, everything we've got going on in our own love lives.
We're your village, and we think you can't date or relate without us.
And you should be pumped to be here because we are bringing you the expertise and guests who are filled with all the answers that'll take some guessing out of the game.
Make sure you subscribe and share our pod with your friends so we can help grow the village even bigger. You can find us at It's Complicated Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to tell a friend.
Just like your dating profile, we're going to post up and talk about our latest and greatest to keep you updated.
Okay, today we are updating you on my Mother's Day and James's birthday celebrations, Rob's newfound focus on life, ooh, and Jen's bachelorette weekend extravaganza. Okay, so I will start. It was Mother's Day recently, and then we haven't done an update since then. So recently it was Mother's Day, and then the day after that was James's birthday. So he tried to steal my thunder. But it's fine. The kids, I will say, for those of you who are like in the relationship stage that I am in, where you are like, you know, with someone and have two young kids, it does get easier. It's challenging in different ways, but like we went to a Mother's Day brunch this year. Last year, we were like, we're not doing this again. It was like not relaxing. This year, it was so much easier. And also, to be honest, like we sort of have like, not given up, but we're just like, okay, if we need to take my phone out and put YouTube on so Hunter Boy can watch dinosaurs, then I'm going to do that so I can drink my mimosa, in which I had four of, and just relax.
Is Hunter like, the oldest?
No, Hunter's the 2.5-year-old.
And the oldest is?
Austin. Like, and just
Austin.
Four. Yeah.
And he just turned four. So is Austin already onto the tablets?
Yeah, they both are. Oh, Austin can full on grab the remote to the TV, turn it on, like navigate through to find YouTube, turn YouTube on, search what he wants, like all with the remote. Yeah. By the way, he also just picked up a book today and was reading it, and it's full on
how to use a tablet.
Instruction manual. Like a full on third grader book, or probably even more than that. I'm just and we don't even flinch anymore. We're just like, yep, he's reading. I don't fucking know how. It's like, but most kids do know how to navigate like electronics these days.
It's always funny to me because like, I mean, and obviously I'm not here to tell anybody how to do anything with raising their kids, but my friends that are first time parents are always, it's the same thing over and over again. They're like, my kid's not using a tablet. My kid's not using a cell phone. My kid's not doing this. My kid's not doing that. And then I watch them slowly give in, you know, and like it's slow. And then the next time I come over, their kids are like watching Miss Rachel for like 4 hours while they're doing
shit.
I
know. And you know, and I was not as like when I just had Austin, I was like, I grew up on TV. So did you. We all did. Like, I think I'm perfectly fine. So I kept that in mind. Also, if you go down a rabbit hole with anything like love, relationships, marriage, and you go like super extreme, it's like, where's the end in sight? It's kind of why I won't go volunteer at an animal shelter. It's because I feel like I will never stop. Like then what? Yeah, well, then I have to adopt one cat, but then what about that dog? But then what about that dog? But then what about that cat? But like I keep, and I know this sounds bad because any help is helpful, but it feels like that too. Like if I say no tablet, then they can't eat any processed foods. So there's seed oil in every food I give them. That's bad for you. Food dye. And then I have to get everything that doesn't have food dye in it. And then this is processed. And then, oh, did you know air fryers, they're toxic now too. Too bad I've been cooking with them for the last year with like every meal I give them. Then do you not microwave food? Like I can't. So you just have to try to manage it the best you can. And when I had Austin, I was like, okay, I'm not going to like sit him in front of the TV forever, but I do need some help. Well, then you have two kids and you're like, all right, Hunter watches way more TV than Austin ever did, but Hunter's also about to go to preschool in a couple months. So he's not going to be doing it as much anymore. And it's just kind of like what I needed for now. And if I'm out to a Mother's Day brunch and he needs to watch dinosaurs, then fine. Also, you guys, side note, my kids full on have learned like so many things from some of the videos they watch. Like Hunter can, the other day he was at a friend's house, he was counting backwards from 10 and they're like, what? Why? How is he doing that? I'm like, from the YouTube video Brain Candy, which taught him how to do that literally like a year ago. He's been counting.
Right.
It's like, okay, but, I mean, it's not all bad, but I understand like some.
No, it's not all bad. It's all, listen, it's, and I know Jen has something she wants to say for a little bit, but like there's like, this is the way, this is the future. Kids are going to be using tablets to do things. Doctors don't look at bodies anymore when they do surgery. They stare at a screen and use their hands while they do that. And you robots. Know, dentists do the same shit. You have the head of Netflix just said the other day, somebody asked him, they're like, is AI going to start taking people's jobs? And he's like, no, AI will not start taking people's jobs. People that know how to use AI better than you do will take your job. But I say AI all won't the time. Take
it is true. It's just a tool like anything else. And the smartest people using the smartest tools will always succeed. Now, going back to tools specifically about like the virtual learning we saw was like totally prevalent during the pandemic. That was the only way to go to school. So like if you can learn through a screen and Zoom, why not through these entertainment videos? The same time though, it's like if you're a parent and you don't have a full-time nanny entertaining your kid at a separate table at a restaurant or you leave them home with that nanny, like your tablet is the next best thing. So like I don't everybody around you is not going to judge you in that moment because they're happy your kid is happy.
Listen, if they have kids, they understand. Right. If they don't have kids, they can fuck off. So
and,
it's
and
like,
if you don't have kids, they're thankful your kids are being quiet so they can enjoy right. their child's exactly. meal without listening to
you. We had Mr. Rogers. We had Captain Kangaroo. We had fucking Sesame Street. We had all this shit that our parents would plop us down in front of. Now, like, should my parents have popped me down in front of Godzilla every week? Maybe not when I was 3 years old because I went around crashing into things. But like, you can figure out. I was just at a house with a bunch of kids yesterday for Memorial Day, and they all were on their own like iPads and games and everything. But the parents were making sure they were on YouTube Kids, not anything else. But you know, the 11-year-old knows all about Alzheimer's because her grandma has it. She knows how to go on YouTube and like research everything and like all the technology coming up, and it kind of helps her soothe
right.
because she's like, the questions are being answered.
Yeah.
You know?
There it's is.
So going back to Mother's Day, you are a great mom. You were celebrated. You're allowed to use tablets. Yay you. So you had a good Mother's Day. How did this year's Mother's Day differ from other years? And like, also how does it differ from Father's Day?
Okay, so Mother's Day, everyone always jokes online that Mother's Day is like, here, take care of your kids today and also get like a disgusting homemade breakfast and then also do all the things you do every day. And then Father's Day for dads is like, have fun golfing, see you in a couple hours, let me take care of the kids while you're gone. So like, you know, it is kind of like a metaphor for how most heterosexual marriage partnerships with kids are. But Mother's Day was just like I said in the beginning, easier this year because they're just of an age where it's a little more manageable, and they also we're not like against just putting the phone in front of them when we had, it wasn't the whole time, but it was part of the time where it was like, okay, fine, now take the phone out so we can all enjoy the rest of this meal.
Mm-hmm. And then in 2 years, you're going to get a shitty breakfast and a couple of cards, and then they're going to run off and do their own thing, and you won't see them for the rest of the day.
Exactly. You know? So, and then, yeah, like that's how it's different than Father's Day. But yes, it was better, like in a way. I mean, it's always a nice day, but it was easier. And life is like that now. We're doing more things. Like before, James used to say, let's go do this. And I'm like, I don't want to go do that. Like pack up everything in the car and then go do that thing that makes it harder for me to mom. And then, you know, I don't like want to isolate inside, but it's just like such a fucking pain in the ass. Now it's not.
Do you think James has a good handle now on like what you want and what you don't like? Things that are like, okay, here's something that's traditional that we can go do that people do on Mother's Day. You'll want to do that and fall right into the like everybody else.
Yeah.
Or is he like, all right, I know what Lauren likes, so let's go do that.
No, it was traditional. And also then he, like the boys went down for a nap and he got me a massage. So I went and got a massage.
And then he was like, it's midnight, my birthday. Time to turn it around, get off the massage bed.
Although he is so not like a typical Taurus, and the fact that he wanted to celebrate his birthday. We just stayed home. I like cooked a homemade pasta and brownies, and he wanted to be with the kids, and I got him a massage, and Yeah. That is, so it was mellow. It was like almost the same thing the very next day, but for him. So now I'm like, fuck, what do I do for Father's Day? But we'll get to there. That's after Jen's wedding, which we are now going to focus on.
I'm like James in kind of the same sense of like, my birthday is either on Father's Day or like the day after Father's Day or the day before Father's Day. Cause I'm June 18th and it always falls on that weekend right in there.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of the same, had to share that a lot growing up.
Yeah. Yeah. James, I think, was brought home on Mother's Day when he was born. So yeah, it's always right around there. But Jen's wedding is literally what, 24 days away now?
I don't know, some absurd amount of days.
Some like, very close, like getting very close to the 2 week mark. And we have her bridal shower approaching this weekend, but we did the bachelorette. So Jen, tell us all about how, I could talk about it through my eyes, but let's talk about it through the bride's eyes. How was it?
So it was amazing. So the weekend before that, I went out with a couple of girlfriends and they planned like a full slew of activities for us. Brought me a veil to wear and like the whole thing. And so like, I felt like that kind of kicked off the bachelorette moments. Because a lot of this like wedding planning stuff is really a kind of a lonely experience. You're just working on this project that has no ROI. You don't see the results for like a full year and you're just chipping away at this thing, sending money out into the universe, making 1,000 decisions. It's like, I've been talking to you guys about this, like death by decisions. And at some point, like, where's the reward? So the bachelorette stuff, it's like now the rewards are coming and I feel like I get to relax, have fun with friends, actually like experience this with other people and not just like my computer. And so the trip itself was like perfect from beginning to end. It was just choreographed so well. It was all my favorite activities.
It's because you did it.
Well, I helped provide direction, but like then I had friends that participated and like did a lot of the planning and the coordinating, and like I got to be a guest, which was really nice, and not take control and not have to plan everything, not make all the decisions. So I think being a guest at a weekend that was just full of fun, love, friendship, like toasts, memories, really relaxing activities. Sure, we drank, we ate, you know, all that. I would say the most drama came from like the staff, the service staff.
I was going to ask, was there ever a point where like the bill came and like some people didn't know how to handle it, or like the staff kind of like that you felt like you needed to stand up and be like, all right, let me figure this out, because everybody's not friends with everybody.
No, I never felt I had to like take charge, because I had definitely a lot of strong personalities that are strong in certain areas. So like, as an example, one orchestrated the itinerary and like printed out this beautiful itinerary with pictures of everyone with me over the years. Everyone submitted it. There was like a playlist people contributed to. I booked the place we stayed because it was like the place I wanted to stay. Created the vibe. I said like what activities I wanted, but like, again, we did a little bit of everything and people arrived when they could arrive. They participated in whatever they wanted to participate in. And I did feel like a sense of Jen guilt, because this is something I talk about in therapy, that like, one, did I spend enough time with everybody? Two, did everyone spend too much money, or did they spend what they kind of knew what they were going to spend? Like, I just don't want to be a burden on anybody. And it's, you think about these milestones, like this is my milestone. Like, does everybody want to go on this kind of trip and spend their money in this way? And I guess, you know, the expectations were set from the beginning. People could opt in or opt out. And like, I just have to sort of sit back and be like, okay, if everybody is, you know, in full awareness of what it's going to entail and then they choose to come, like, I guess that's on them to choose to be a part of it. But like, I can't help. Well, I have to help it, I guess. This is the therapy bit. Like, I feel a sense of responsibility, because at this point in my life, like, I know how much everybody's time is so precious. And it is, you know, like Lauren has 2 kids and a husband she left for, you know, the weekend. Then other friends have kids, or other friends have jobs, or a mom that has cancer. And like, everyone chose to dedicate their time to this. And like, that is some real shit. So I wanted it to be a special weekend, a relaxing weekend. I didn't want people to feel like they had to like come back and have another vacation from the weekend. So there's a lot of pressure I put on myself. I don't know if other brides do. Maybe it's just depending on your age and your awareness of what it takes to do these things. But like, when you're 12 teen, I don't think people have disposable income, and yet somehow they find money to go on these trips But they also have less responsibility, so it's easier to go on these
and trips. It's easier. That's the thing, too. You have to take into mind, because I was a guest at this bachelorette, that you are worrying about these things, but that's also because everybody that's with you is at a different time in their life. Like, if we were 23, I've been on tons of bachelorettes at that age, and it's totally different. You like take a party bus somewhere and you drink and get a stripper or whatever, or what, and not even, but you know what I'm saying? Like, that is actually what I did for my friend Erica's bachelorette when we were like 24. And nobody cares because you're 24. There's like no expectations of like making sure you're relaxing or like, you know, so it's different for everybody because then you're worried about those things because the people you're with have those things happening in their life. So it's just like, you don't, I mean, you did fine. Everyone was fine, but I understand why you would think those things.
Well, how long was the bachelorette party? Only like 3 days or 2 days, right?
It was Friday to Sunday, and we like jam-packed activities into starting.
Yeah, I mean, it's Friday. A weekend. You're not so asking people right. to go away for a week. You're not asking people to
Daniel's
go.
Daniel's was 3 nights and 4 days. So
okay, well, you let Daniel stress about that. You he had didn't. Your own – right. So you have your own thing where you're like, okay, you get, look, I'm inviting you if you can come. It's the bachelorette party. Bachelorette parties aren't mandatory. You know, there people, if they have all the shit going on in the world, they don't want to go fucking take 2 days to let wild because that's what you're expecting at a bachelorette party. Whether it's relaxing or not, that's an added bonus. But when you go to these things, you're expecting to be like, I'm going to fucking let loose for a little bit, yeah. You know? So maybe the person got, I'm so sorry that they are dealing with the cancer, but maybe they needed to go fucking let loose right. for a couple of days. And maybe Lauren's like, I need to get the fuck away from my kids for a couple of days. And maybe, you know what I mean? And you're giving them an excuse to go yeah. do it. So like they're saying, yes, we're in, then you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
You have to let it go because even with anything, it's like your wedding, like you can't, yes, of course you want to make your guests have fun or whatever. And they're all part right. of the experience, but like, it's also what you want, what is, you know, you're paying for and what you pick, what kind of a day you want it to be. And also like, you know, it's a gift in a way, and people are going to enjoy it. They could have something totally separate. It could be perfect. And they could have something totally separate in their life that messes something up and has nothing to do with you. You could go down a rabbit hole of trying to make people
happy. And if it was like day four, you'd be like, okay, you probably need to get back to your life. Do you know what I mean? But like, and you're not like, why are you leaving? Why are you going somewhere? You know, it's like you 2 days in Palm Springs. That's fun. Like, go relax.
It was perfect. I think it was perfect.
Did you get drunk?
Oh my gosh. So I was so hungover on Sunday. I felt like I drank a lot over a lot of time.
Yeah.
But Sunday I was unwell.
Well, that's what I wanted to know too, because you guys don't go out like you used to. And I don't either anymore. But like, there's like, when you're going to go balls to the wall, I mean, you guys went tits to the mitts, I guess. I have no idea. But like, You're at our age, there's a time where you're going to be like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm fucking hungover. Like, I need bed. Like, yeah, I need to lay down and watch reality TV and order pho and like not go anywhere for hours.
Jen was drinking. First of all, we were day drinking. Then we get to a restaurant. This was Saturday night. She orders 2 espresso martinis. And then we get to karaoke and she's drinking. Everyone, brace yourselves. She ordered and drank very quickly. 2 vodka Red Bulls. Vodka Red Bull. I couldn't even look at it without dry heaving in my mouth. I was like,
whoa. I don't know what's more sad, that you're like that Jen had that, and or that you're like, oh my God, I can't believe she had it.
With the 2 espresso martinis, and we get back to the hotel and we're like, we're so tired. And she's like, we're playing games. She forced us like,
oh, that's awesome,
to sit down and play games. And we all just like went through the motions. We were like, And then we're like, okay, that's enough. It's been 10 minutes. Somebody put a timer on their phone. They're
was
like,
there any, was there any like party poopers? Like, it was there that one girl who was like, I'm tired. Like, this is enough. We've done enough today.
We all did it at some point because we're all like close to 40 or in our 40s with children. So we're like, all of us at some point, it was never a night where we were up to like past like midnight, really.
No. But I mean, I've had friends before that are like, everybody else is having a good time. And there's that one person's like, I want to go home. You know what I mean? And you're like,
it was a good mix of people because there was like the 3 that didn't have kids. Then there's the 4 that did, but 2 of them recently had kids, like within the last four to six months. They each had a baby. So like those two were expected to go home early because of pumping or just lack of drinking in the last six to whatever months. And also like one got a headache because she was like dehydrated. It was just like too much. So I was just so grateful that they even showed up having newborns basically.
Yeah. Nobody cared when they were like,
I was like, you put in the time, go.
Yeah. It wasn't like everybody has to get on the party bus now because Sally wants to go home.
Of course not, because we were in Palm Springs. Everything was like a $5 Uber.
It was all very close. Yeah, the hotel was like super central to everything, so it was good.
That and nobody like came out? You all stayed together in the same house, or were you all in like different hotel rooms?
Yeah, it was all one hotel suite, yeah.
Okay, so but nobody came out and was like, guys, it's like 3 a.m. Or guys, it's like 1. Can you keep it down?
No, because we all went to bed at the same time, and that was like midnight.
Okay. Rager. Well, listen, at least you guys had fun. Day drinking is my favorite drinking, you know? And if you can day drink and be in bed by 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, that's a fucking good day for me. So did you feel like this is what you wanted and it came true and everything went well? Like, did you come back and be like, that was perfect?
Yes. I mean, there were like little things like the service, like I started to say at the pool.
You can't help that.
No,
but it wasn't even that bad. The girl was just, the girl serving us just had said something that was, we asked her to take a picture. She's like, I don't have time right now. We're really busy, and like walked away. But it was like, other than that, it was not a big deal.
No, it was more just like, that was like unnecessary. But I think like, that's the point. If the drama is like out external stuff, then that's great. Because again, you bring together different walks of life at this point, and like, it could either go really well or really poorly. I do think that like, I have a lot of the same type of friend. They're all just like good humans and they've got their shit together and are like pretty grounded people. No one was like trying to rage. And then that's the one person. It's not like the movie Bridesmaids where like one person's throwing up on the plane or whatever, but it was really a very,
and is everybody in a relationship that went?
Everybody except one.
Okay. How did that one find anybody?
No. I don't think she was looking, but at the same time, I don't think Palm Springs lended itself to that. Maybe at the karaoke place. And also, I'd like to go back to this whole Red Bull vodka thing. The reason for the Red Bull vodka, for the one I had was for me, and then I had somebody else's because she didn't drink it. But I had it because, you know, in a bar when you're like, I don't think you're going to have like the things I would prefer you to muddle in my drink and like go down a whole like mixologist path. This didn't look like that kind of place. So I was like, okay, what could I get that's order? I could order fast. Will keep me up and is kind of like funny. Mm-hmm. I didn't want like a vodka soda. I knew that was going to be gross. So if I'm going to have a gross drink, I'm going to have the grossest that keeps me awake.
I had vodka soda and it was fine.
Oh, well, at least you got one.
Throw a little lime in it.
I did. I went back to get a lemon and it was such a crowded bar. I couldn't even get back to get a lemon. And I was like, fuck it. And just drank it.
This is why I ordered a vodka Red Bull. I was like, what's fast and quick. And
was this past weekend?
No.
No,
okay, that was two weekends ago.
That was the weekend before. This past weekend, though, and this, like, I think rounds me out, but we went a couple days later after my bachelorette to Santa Barbara to complete a couple of, like, last-minute tasks for the wedding. Mm-hmm. Got our marriage license. Mm. Yep. Did that. Well, that was great.
Technically married.
No, because it has to – like, someone has to preside over it. It's not like that. No. It's like they just give you the paperwork.
You just have it.
Yeah. And then our officiant has to actually do the ceremony. They're like, you're not married. Because we could have had a ceremony at City Hall, but we just got the paperwork.
That's just for people who are going to other countries. They have to do that. So that technically, if you go to another country and watch a wedding ceremony, they're actually already married.
Right. Yes. So in this case, got the paperwork. It was quick and painless. Then I went and got my hair and I did my hair and makeup trial. That was great. Then we picked out a cake. That was great. And then drove home. Then I proceeded to get very ill. But while we were going through those 24 hours was so wonderful. It was like, holy shit, this is all happening. The next time we're in Santa Barbara, it's going to be our wedding. That's wild. And alas, now we're like days away at this point.
Wow. Can't wait. It's going to be fun.
Rob's coming to where all the band is going to be together for the first time in like however long. I don't even know when we've all been together.
Yeah, that's true.
8 years ago at a bar somewhere.
Yeah.
Something like that, probably.
Pitching reality TV shows all over Hollywood. That's the last time we were all together. Okay, so Rob, you are having a new life focus situation. Tell us
so
that we can prepare when we see you.
Yeah,
explain. I was talking to Cedric about this and Bo a little bit, but like, it's weird because like I'll be turning 48 on the 18th of June. And I had like, when I was 46, I didn't like kind of freak out about it. I was like, oh, this is kind of an older age, but I was like, I want certain things to be going on by the time I'm 48, right? I wanted to be recurring on a good show or have like a good character on a good show. I wanted to be in great shape, and I wanted to like be happy with my physical appearance. You know what I mean? Like healthy and happy and all that stuff. And then I wanted to be in a relationship that kind of like wasn't, it was the last, like I knew it was the last one. So it didn't have to be like fiance or married. It just had to be like with somebody that I knew I wanted to be with. And that's in 3 weeks and none of that is happening. So like, I didn't really put in the effort on the body stuff, and I'm still working on that. The show stuff, this fucking strike is still like, the effect of that strike is still really, really happening to a lot of people out there, especially writer. I mean, there was a whole article in Hollywood Reporter about writers like that were writing on TV shows that are now like getting dog grooming jobs and stuff, you know, like it's, and like, as far as actors go, like it's a dime a dozen. There's a phrase out there right now that says survive till 25, because like there's another pending IATSE strike that might happen in July. So people aren't really green lighting a whole bunch of stuff. And then the people that weren't working during the strike are taking up all the other jobs that people would, like people that wouldn't usually take four episodes on a TV show are taking that now because they didn't have the jobs that they missed before. You know what I mean? Mm. So there's like this backlog. I mean, God forbid you come into Hollywood right now with no resume or any kind of like job ladder that you have already established, because it's hard as hell to get even started in the business. So there's just a lot of things. And I don't say it's a midlife crisis that I'm going through, because like, I don't think I'm going to live to be 96. So my midlife crisis would have probably happened like 5 years ago, you know? But I just, and also like, I don't know if I'm going to get married and have kids now. So like,
yeah, you feel that way because you didn't reach the milestone that you had for yourself, like the goals that you had for yourself by 48. So now you feel
there's just something like, I just don't, like, it's harder. It's getting harder and harder for me to see.
I get that. And maybe I'm just going to chime in as a former single person in the same phase, because I experienced the same thing. I was like, it's harder to visualize because I have been single longer than I've been in a relationship. And now like, it's hard to imagine that because out of practice, and it just, you know, doesn't seem like reality fitting in my life. But then all of a sudden I met Daniel, who was at the time 48, and, you know, we're getting married and he's going to be 50 and a half and I'm going to be 39 and a half or whatever it is. And like, none of that was in my plan either. I wanted to be married younger and I thought it was never going to happen. And then how could it happen if I am this age? What would that look like? So I encourage you to not give up hope. It just looks different. And I understand probably a lot of people listening are in the same boat where it's like, you set these goals, now you're way past those goals. And you're like, maybe I just need to make new goals. I don't know that you need to make new goals. I think you just need to reimagine it.
Well, that's what I'm kind of saying, is that like, I don't know. Like, first of all, I'm watching my friends who are married, and now they have been married for like 5 years, 6 years. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they're all like, they were dating and now they're married and then they're start. Like, I'm watching people that are together, and nobody's specific. So please don't, if anybody's listening, don't think I'm talking about you, but like a majority of my friends, they're not happy. You know what I mean? Like, they're just like, it's constant work and it's constant arguing. And it's like, wait, I don't have to deal with that shit. You know what I mean? Like, my days aren't filled with that person's misunderstanding of why I said this or didn't do this. You know what I mean? So like, and then you watch like these reality TV shows, and it is not a good year out there for guys, you know, like they act like assholes. And I know I'm not one of those. Right. And I know I'm not one of those people, but then I'm watching what these people are going through, and I'm friends with some of them, you know? And I'm like, damn, there's no way for that person to win that argument, because they're going to be looked at a certain way no matter what they do. And it's like, oh, do I want to do that? And then it's like, okay, I could, you know, they're always, I tell people this, and like, well, especially women are like, well, you're a guy, so you can have kids at any time, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, my sperm might still fucking swim, But guess what? I'm fucking tired. You know, I'm already fucking tired. So like, you're going to throw a fucking baby in there. I have a puppy that's like, that is like, dude, I need to go out. And I'm like, ugh, you know what I mean? So like, yeah.
Age and the age of the sperm does come into play for.
I know. I understand that. I know it's geriatric and I know all that other stuff, but I just went through this sperm check a couple years ago and I'm good. Well, right?
Yeah, no. And so, I'm sure you are, but I'm just saying, you know, obviously your body doesn't have to carry the baby, but your body has to take care of the baby. And that's what you're saying.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. And I know that the baby trains you as much as you train it. Like, I know that. When you have a baby, by the time that baby's two, you're used to getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning because you've been getting up every other hour since it was born, you know? So like 7 o'clock in the morning is actually like, whoa, we're sleeping in today. Whereas, you know, for me, you know, I'm like, oh, 9:30, I got to get up at 9:30 and so I have an hour and a half to get ready and eat before I go to the gym at 12, you know, like, so like. It's like a different lifestyle that I don't know if I'm so far into this lifestyle that I'm like, oh, do I even? And then I'm reimagining it going, okay, well, now what does my life look like without marriage and kids? What do I do now? So it's like, okay, do I start traveling more? Do I move to fucking Europe? You know, like, am I going to keep doing this acting thing? Because nobody's knocking on my fucking door. And I've been doing this for 35 fucking years. So yes, my big break could happen. And yes, you don't know until you go. And yes, all these, you know, I was looking while Lauren was talking, I was going through some papers on my desk and I literally came across this, which I printed out, which says, remember that some of the best times of your life haven't even happened yet.
Right.
And it's like, you know, and I was like, well, that's a fucking sign. Literally and figuratively.
Maybe that's a sign. Maybe you tattoo that on your little, whatever is left on your arm that you can tattoo. But
well, then what? Then I just, I don't know.
But here's the thing. I think going back to like me remembering what it was like being single and thinking it's not going to happen or whatever it was, or like being single longer than I was in a relationship and getting out of practice with it. I now think about things with Daniel and I'm like, okay, when things are hard, I know recently what it was like being single and not having to deal with something like this. Mm-hmm. Is dealing with this more worth it than if I didn't have to deal with it? Would I rather keep him and deal with this than be single and avoid this kind of situation?
But see, that's like that's something that I've wrestled with also, because there's that phrase, it's better to have loved and lost than I never loved at all. And like, I'm like, bullshit, because I've loved and lost and it fucking sucks.
Yeah.
So and like, also, I'd rather not love at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it also depends too, because Jen, you know, you're barely 2 years into a relationship. We're talking like, and I say this with love, I'm saying like, when other things come down the pipeline that are major life events, like that you share together, like death, someone getting fired, I don't know what, someone pulls away, you have kids, like you're fighting a lot, like these things start happening, then sometimes you can't come back from it and a divorce happens. And then you think to yourself, oh fuck, like I'm never of the rule of thought that it's like, okay, well, I wish that never happened. But some people are like, okay, I'm glad that part of my life's over after a relationship.
I know everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
I know everything happens the way it's supposed to. But like Lauren is saying, like, I'm watching my friends that are 5 or 6 years in now. Do you know what I mean?
It's hard. It can get very hard. But remember,
right. And kid number two.
And I say, like, you know, you got to fight through those tough times, but just know that they're ahead. And Rob, you're not wrong. Like being single, and I was single for a long time before I met James, and I was younger than both you guys, but still there was a point in my life where I was like, what is going on here? And like, there is a lot about being single that is fabulous and better than being in a relationship. And there's a lot about like, being in a relationship that's better than being single. You can't really compare.
Right. I don't think it's just about the relation. And I know this is what this podcast is about, but like, what if the acting thing is like slowly going away too? Like there's a lot of things going on in my brain and I'm like, well, what else would I want to do? I'm happiest when I'm traveling, you know? So like my sister is now moving again. She's moving to Budapest.
What?
Hungary. Yeah. Her fiance got a job out there. So now they're moving to Budapest. Wow. So like, and in my mind, I'm like, fuck, this is the life that I wish I could. Like, if I wasn't tied down to this mistress of fucking acting who gives me no love back, you know, it's like, what you talk about ROI, which took me about 6 minutes into your talking to figure out what that was. But talking about ROI, like acting is one of the hardest things to get from that, from, you know? So, but like traveling, you get it immediately. Yeah. Like you're on the plane. You're like, fuck, I'm going. You know what
and
I mean? You get
Rob, that like adrenaline. The freedom of traveling and opening that world up to meeting people. It's like your own dating app, right? Yeah, you are, right. And so that in turn, I'm just throwing this out there. Maybe it's one thing in your life that's a roadblock. Let's just say, I'm not saying it is, but let's just say acting is a roadblock right now. Maybe you need to take a break, or maybe you need to step out of the race for a second. What then would open up in your life? Would a relationship happier traveling? Maybe it's not, I know it feels like it's all coming in from all different angles and they're all things you're starting to question, but maybe there's something that's digestible that you can take in your life right now, make a little change and see what happens in the next handful of months after that. Maybe it's more clear what's not working.
But that's what I'm talking myself through right now. You know what I mean? It's like, what, but then also like, I can't just get on a plane and start traveling with nothing. It's like, so how do I do that? I have a dog. Can my dog come with me? I know there's a new airline that flies only pets, but like, what does that look like? Money, you know, I've been in and out of jobs for 3 years. Money goes quicker than it comes in. So it's like, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on right now that I'm just kind of like, well, what does the next 10 years look like, you know? And I believe everything happens the way it's supposed to. I have tattoos on my entire body about ride the fucking river, let it take you where it's going to go. It's going to be, you're going to the right spot. Everything happens the way it's supposed to, kind of shit. And it's like, I've never been a look 10 years in the future type of person, but like, I've also never been 48. So it's, I'm not going to go buy a motorcycle and fucking, but you know, another thing is like, I'm talking to people. I'm like, maybe I'm fucking leaving Austin at the end of the year. Maybe I'm going to fucking Nashville. I have a lot of friends that are more in my age range in Nashville that are still kind of pursuing dreams, because Nashville is kind of like LA in the sense that people are still pursuing their careers and goals and have kind of like pushed back the family thing. Whereas Austin, they started the family thing early.
Yeah, maybe Nashville. That actually makes sense, Rob. That could be a good, because the industry is still, it's like pretty pumping there. That could be a good thing for you too. And the
freedom. So to your point, like, so I don't know. Why not? If not now, when?
Yeah. And it's a it feels like traveling, because it's like a new place. You get to start over again. You have the ability to, you can take your dog. So there's another, that's another like one thing to focus on. Maybe it's just a change of location.
Yeah, but I just did that 2 years ago and it didn't really help.
Yeah, but maybe Austin's not the right spot though. Maybe you love it, but it's, you know.
Right.
I call it a good transition city. Austin's a good transition city.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe I come back to LA eventually. I don't know. If I got a job, I'd come back. I don't know. But I'm just saying that my thing right now is uncertainty, and like all the things that I thought I've ever wanted are kind of being questioned right now. So it's just like a weird place to be. And I was telling Cedric, I'm like, dude, right now I'm just taking shit as it comes. If somebody comes knocking on my door with a fucking offer for something, I'm gonna take it if it's good, you know? So like I'm not like nailed down to, no, I'm this and this, and I'm gonna hit this and this. Now I'm like, yeah man, whatever's coming in, I'll just fucking go with the flow and just see what happens.
That's probably when things will come, because you're actually more fluid with the universe versus rigid with the universe, yeah. Which is that river that you speak of.
Yeah. You're not potentially standing in your own way. And when you are, and when something very important and big in your life, like career, you start to like change that mindset. Well, it flows into other aspects of your life, like relationships.
I'm never going to give up acting. Like I'm always going to be doing that. Like, but I'm incorporating the writing more. Like I'm writing more, you know, and you know, who knows what other, if somebody knocked on my door tomorrow and was like, hey, you want to, you know, help produce this reality show, I'd be like, fuck yeah. Do you like, you know, that kind of stuff. But I'm always going to be an actor. Like is always going to be my thing. But the Taoism, which is why I got this tattoo, but Taoism is like, you're going down the river of life. You're flowing. It's taking you where you're supposed to go. When you try to swim upstream against it, you're going to drown. When you try to hold on to a rock in a certain spot and you won't let go, you're going to drown. So the only thing you can do is let go and just go with the flow.
Right? I think that this premise also applies though to dating and relationships, because that kind of like summarizes how people look at types and like what they're attracted to or what they've always been attracted to versus being open to something different. I can't handle hearing people say, and I probably can say this because I have a tall fiance, but people saying like, oh, their height, whatever it was. But for me, you know, Daniel's height was what I wanted, but I never saw myself with somebody with salt and pepper hair or with an accent I can hardly understand. So I think there's a lot of different things that we never thought we would end up with that if we had because we're being open to it, that's the thing that is actually meant for us. So letting things come in and being aware of it is like how it's all going to happen. So you're like doing all the right things. It's just happening right now.
It'll be an interesting next year will be interesting starting June.
Are you excited about it? Or are you, how do you feel about it being interesting?
Sometimes I'm scared because I'm like, well, where the fuck am I going? What else am I good at? Like, where am I gonna make money? You know? And then sometimes I'm excited because I'm like, well, I'm fucking free to go do whatever I want. Like Courtney and I were talking about it. My sister, she's going to Budapest. I'm like, isn't it awesome that we live lives that we can just fucking go? Do you know what I mean? Like, especially her, you know, she doesn't have kids to worry about. Her kids aren't in school. Her fiance got a fucking job. They can go fucking move to Hungary. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. It'll be interesting. I'm excited. I'm always excited about it. I'm always excited to wake up every day and see what that day holds, you know? But it's just a different, I get it now. I even thought about starting an Instagram called Midlife Crisis and just being a 50-year-old when I turn 50, if nothing else has changed, just start traveling the world and living life as a 50-year-old and broadcasting.
Okay, well, in two years, you might do that. But
maybe, hopefully things will be different in 2 years. I don't know. All the psychics say I'm going to be fine, but it's just living in the moment that it's like, what's happening? You know,
it's okay because these are the times when like you propel yourself into make a change and then that change produces something, but you have to get scared in order to do it. And you're right now you're teetering on that like fear and you're not making fear-based decisions, but you're really just getting yourself to the point of like, okay, what's next? I'm on the fence. Do I go left or right? And you're going to figure it out.
Yeah. And you're going to do that after you come to my wedding. And you, again, not that I'm saying you like have to do these things, but like, you never know with travel, you're coming to California. It's your birthday week. We don't know what kind of energy is in the air. Maybe you manifest or you set your intentions and this kicks off some travel for you that might kick off other things. So you're going to be at my wedding. We'll celebrate your birthday. All great things. Lauren and I will be bride and bridesmaiding up a storm. And then this will kick off my next phase of life, which will just be a boring married person. But I'm psyched for that, to be honest. For wedding planning to be over and me to just go back to business as usual, love that for me. You guys, business as usual, keep tuning in to It's Complicated, where we talk more dating and relationshipy stuff, reality TV, you name it, we cover it. Especially as we go through these different phases of life, it's always going to be honest and raw and real. And if you want to join the class of Master Daters, don't forget to follow us on social media at Complicated Show. Share the show with a friend, comment, let us know what topics you want to hear more about. And if you want to follow me, you can at Jennifer Golden on all the social medias.
You can follow me at Forever's Evers on Instagram.
And you can follow me at Lauren Leonelli on all the social medias as well.
Bye, Gail.
Thank you for listening to It's Complicated. And now that we're going steady, come back next week for another date with Jennifer Golden, Lauren Leonelli, and Rob Evers.